The very first chefs we had as guests on City Lights back in 2015 are joining us again this morning. Chef Duane Nutter, formerly of One Flew South and now chef owner of Southern National, opening soon in Mobile, Alabama, and Todd Richards, the executive chef at White Oak Kitchen and Cocktails, and chef owner of Richard Southern Fried at Krog Street Market. Gentlemen, welcome back to City Lights.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you for having us.
I think this is your third visit, and we are honored. And you're here to help us with holiday cooking today, Christmas.
Oh,
yeah, Christmas.
That's what's going on now.
Yeah,
this time of the year.
Just about a week away. You mean since October, you haven't seen all the decorations? And
I noticed something different besides the weather.
There you go. Well, Christmas is barely a week away, and many of our listeners will be fixing some traditional American and Southern Christmas dinners. And as expert chefs, our go-tos, I understand that you both get a lot of questions about a few very specific foods. Let's start with turkey.
Right.
What's the deal with turkey and Christmas?
I think most people tend to not prepare enough time to make turkey right.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think that there's always a rush, and they always end up either overcooking the turkey or it's about as bland as a shoe, you know? And that's the number one question I think that, you know, I get. I know Duane gets it as well, of how to make sure that a turkey is delicious. And I think the best way is to always brine a turkey. No matter what, you have to inject some moisture inside the turkey. And brining is the most simplest way to do it. It's just salt and water is the basis for it. And then you can use the season to really help you add flavors to it. You know, it's citrus season right now, so adding like oranges and lemons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you want to be fancy like us, add kumquats or something like that to it.
But, oh, fancy schmancy. Where do you find the kumquats?
Well, I mean, they grow, you know, in the South, you know, primarily in Florida, you know, a good amount. But you can order them.
I have a tree in Alabama, so I might be able to send you some.
Wow. Well, you know, I bought a brine turkey for Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. thinking, Publix did all the work, you know? It tasted very peculiar. And does it come out with the meat pinker, or did I not cook it enough?
It definitely will come out with the meat pinker. You know, basically mm-hmm. what you're doing is that what brining does, it really enlivens the meat itself. So it brings out those beautiful colors inside of it. And, you know, typically if you don't brine something, it just goes into the other form of decay is what we call it, you know, in the kitchen.
There's and he's talking about a wet brine, and I dry brine.
Do tell.
It's just like, it's similar like a wet brine, same salt, whatever flavors you're trying to incorporate. And then you can leave it overnight with your bird salted and seasoned heavily, and instead of if you didn't want to buy your Home Depot bucket and go put your turkey outside because your refrigerator may not be big enough.
Okay. Well, I'm curious, what do you prepare for your families on Christmas?
Oh, well, I actually, I didn't roast my turkey this year.
That's not Christmas yet.
It's not Christmas yet, but I experimented on a couple of my brides.
Oh, okay.
When you're a chef, you can have ideas and you work them out.
Yeah, so what have you worked?
And I worked, I spatchcocked it. I actually took the backbone out. And I did do a wet brine this time, but I'm going to do a dry brine next time.
We had Alton Brown in a couple months ago, and that spatchcocking is his favorite activity.
Yeah, that'll turn your whole thing to like an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes. You're right at 165.
But how difficult is that for one? I mean, should one try this at home?
Yes, because people learned it at home.
Good point. You don't need
so
an axe.
It's not a foreign activity. It's actually just coming back.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's my grandmother did it before.
Really?
It has the same anatomy as a chicken, so you've seen a parent or a relative break a chicken down before we bought them in pieces. You used to buy a whole chicken, cut it up, then you made your fried chicken.
See, that's what I love about how you two approach this. It's not with all of the intimidating,
this is the current method.
No. This is, you know, de rigueur. You're saying, hey, it's what people used to do.
Yeah, it started at your house.
before the industrialization And Todd, I remember you're talking about your lovely urban garden.
Most certainly. I think that that's the same kind of thing of growing food at home, that you should not be intimidated by the size of a piece of meat. And cooking, especially for the holidays. You know, it's a festive time anyway, and seeing big pieces of meat come out and people carving them and cutting them, I think that makes it more of a glorious occasion than just, you know, having small pieces there. So I don't think it's intimidating. And if you need anything to be done, the butchers at the places can actually do so for you.
Okay. Well, let's say you can already make a pretty good turkey with the advice you've given us, or side of mashed potatoes. How do you suggest taking a traditional dish to the next level? I remember during your first visit, which was in the summer, you told us about grilling peaches, something that might not occur to the non-chef. And Duane, I remember you were saying you were not opposed to the fancy schmancy salt because you use less of it.
Yes.
So how does a common cook take on the chef's role, say turning mashed potatoes into something extraordinary, which I think potatoes are pretty extraordinary to begin with.
I think one thing is just looking at the ingredients that you use. I mean, I think you can use, you know, plain Idaho potatoes, or you can use Yukon potatoes, which would be a definite. Looking at the type of cream that you use, instead of using 36% butterfat, you use 40% butterfat.
Yeah, you start elevating your ingredients. Techniques are probably the same.
I agree with that. Techniques are going to be 100% the same, but just changing the ingredients some. I remember when Duane and I were cooking together probably in 2008, and we were doing a lot of potato dishes at that time. And you know, truffles were always easy to come up by, but we started using really just fresh herbs just to garnish the dishes with, instead of doing the obvious of being so opulent and just finding the most refreshing herbs to put into potato dishes. And I think those simple things like that can take just a regular, you know, great bowl of mashed potatoes to a fantastic and over-the-top version of it.
So where does one get 40% butterfat?
Man, have you heard of Amazon? I mean, you can get anything. I've been nerding out on pizza lately, and I was like, where can I get some imported tomatoes? Oh, Amazon. Come straight to the back door.
Isn't that amazing? You did a drone delivery?
No, I didn't even have to use no chef connection.
Oh, yeah. We do live in an amazing age. Call some supplier
from Florida to import something, and I wait to. No, I just tick, click, click. Oh, look, they're at the house.
Well, this was not through Amazon, but Todd will appreciate. I have succumbed to ordering Chicago pizza directly from.
That's it. My dad, you know, he still lives there.
And
no, he's here now, but you know, Home Run Inn and all those things. But I mean, that's what makes cooking during the holidays so much fun. Yeah. It's all the nostalgia that it brings and the joy it brings. So it's like, I remember when, you know, mom made this dish or dad made that dish, you know?
Well, what are your thoughts about leftovers? Is there something extraordinary from grits or the mashed potatoes, or what can we do with
I like adding my leftover turkey to my grits with a fried egg on top.
Oh, man, that sounds good.
I like
now,
doing that.
Now, see, isn't that sort of like what the Italians do with a polenta?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, the commonality.
The commonality.
I think the leftovers actually taste better anyway. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, there's grit dishes that, you know, that we've done in the past where, you know, the grits have set up, we cut them, dust them with a little flour, make croutons with them, you know, things like that, you know, so you can put it in the salad. So it's crunchy on the outside, soft in the middle. You know, you can fold the turkey, pour the gravy on top of it. I mean, I know.
Goes on and on.
You know, cozy up in a with a book, you know, by the fireplace.
Oh,
glass of champagne. I'm ready to go. I see you guys.
Cooked for me, please. Well, this is the first time in 111 years that Hanukkah and Christmas occur at the same time. Have you ever made latkes, potato pancakes?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Oh, yeah, we worked in, it was in Palm Beach.
Yeah. That's right.
Big Jewish community there. So, shut the hotel down.
So, any exotic latke recipes or recommendations, or are you, you know, pretty much
the
purist?
Can I remember that far back?
No, I don't think we're purists because, you know, when we made matzo balls, we put duck fat in them. So.
Yeah.
Oh, but see, again, going back to what Dwayne said, I think those grandmothers, the, you know, elderly cooks in Eastern Europe, who weren't so elderly then, but we knew it as grandmothers. I think they used chicken fat and duck fat in that. Yeah. So that's what makes it scrumptious. Yeah. Well, you know, in Israel, in the Middle East, in North Africa, they don't cook latkes. I thought, what kind of Jews don't have latkes on Hanukkah? And then I remember, wait, they were first. And then I thought, potatoes don't grow in the desert. So for them, all that matters is that it's cooked in oil. They could have something like a beignet or a donut, which means that as long as the food is cooked in oil, it could be appropriate for Hanukkah. So, Todd, you could have southern fried chicken for Hanukkah.
I don't discriminate. I cook for anybody and everybody. You know, delicious food is the most universal food in the world, and it brings people together. I mean, it doesn't matter to me what creed, color you are. As long as it's good, you know, it tastes good, and you want to sit down and have a good time and eat, I think fried chicken is that food that does it.
Fried chicken, latkes.
Yeah.
Donuts. I guess we'd
grits.
Need grits. We need something green, don't we? You have to feel virtuous. What do you serve with this?
Oh, well, shoot. Collard greens got a big bump by Neiman Markets this year. Let's throw those in there.
What are collard greens doing at Neiman?
That's what I wanted to know.
They have, like, truffle oil in them?
No.
Caviar?
Not according to the recipe. I just saw bacon and onions.
Well, see? There is a commonality,
yes.
And you two, I mean, you do such extraordinary things in the kitchen and beyond. Todd Richards is the executive chef of White Oak Kitchen and Cocktails, as well as chef owner at Richards Southern Fried. Fabulous. Get in line early at Krog Street Market. Dwayne Nutter is chef owner of Southern National, slated to open in mid-March in Mobile, Alabama, with The Drive. And Dwayne, you're returning to stand-up comedy?
Oh, yes, I have been dibble-dabbling.
Well, when are you performing at the Punchline?
I believe on the 22nd of January.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, chefs. Thank you so much, and wishing you the happiest of holidays.
Well, thank you.
Same to you.
See you next time.
Yeah, come back early in 2017.